Bible to Matthew chapter 4. We're looking at the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ over the temptations of Satan. And there are some great truths here for every believer concerning the place of the Word of God in our lives as a tool in the hand of the Lord. And what a great thing it is to know the Bible and to know its truths. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we want to, as an introduction, look at the place of the Word of God in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ over the devil. Notice in the temptation of Satan, in verse number 3, if thou be the Son of God. Of course, the devil knew that Jesus was the Son of God. When those that were filled with demons saw the Lord Jesus, they said, "We know who art thou. We know that thou art the Son of God, and you've come to torment us before our day." Of course, as I mentioned before, this is a first-class conditional condition in the Greek language, which means, since you're the Son of God. Now, basically saying, since you're the Son of God, use your power, show yourself to be the Son of God, and turn this stone into a piece of bread. It would be nothing for Jesus to do that. And that was the temptation. And in each one of these temptations, we want to notice something that is very important. That in each temptation, the Lord Jesus answered with the written Word of God. Notice verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written." Well, the word that we have today, the Scriptures, is that word. It is written. To write means to, is the Greek word skribo. In the Scriptures, that which was written are the Scriptures. And Lord Jesus, the Son of God, when he answered the devil and the temptation, he answered him with the Word of God. We find that in each temptation. The second temptation, as recorded in Matthew, the devil taketh him up unto the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee." Well, since you're the Son of God, let's do what the Bible says the angels are going to do for you. The Bible says that in Psalm 91 that the angels will have charge over you and protect you. And so let's test it out. And notice how Jesus answered. Jesus said to him, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Now, what we want to notice again is, what does he answer him with? He doesn't come up with some trite expression. He answers him with the absolute, authoritative, 100% perfect, written Word of God. What did Jesus recognize was the authority of truth and held God's authority over Satan? The Scripture. And so here in verse 7, he quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto them, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, it'd be good to read the in your own time, Luke chapter 4, where this temptation is also recorded, gives us a fuller understanding of what the devil was offering him. And the devil certainly had that to offer. And you know what? The devil does offer the riches and the glories of this world. He does offer that. And many people don't realize that the devil legitimately can offer people the riches and the glories of this world. And he legitimately offered those to Jesus Christ. I wonder, are you wanting the riches and the glories of this world? The devil is offering those. He is offering those. The Lord's answer. Jesus said to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. The scriptures. What is written? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Here a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13. Now, first of all, we want to look at Jesus' perspective on the scriptures. What was Jesus' perspective on the scriptures? It is written. This is what God says. And he quotes the Bible. What is his view of the scripture? Absolute, authoritative truth. Absolute, authoritative truth. It wasn't a suggestion. He didn't say this is a suggestion. He says it is written. Very important. And we'll, if I don't get there, hopefully I will. But in the temptations against Satan, the very attitude of the person of the believer about the authority of the scriptures is paramount. Paramount. The attitude of the believer concerning the authority of God's word and the truth of God's word and the absoluteness of its message, paramount. Now, so we see his view of the scripture is the very basis of the victory over the answer to the devil. Oh, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? But not only does what the Bible says, it is written. That's it. Settled. Like the psalmist said, it's forever settled in heaven. The Bible. And that's what you're going to read. Get up in heaven, you're going to see the Bible. But notice the authority. His concept of the Bible, the authority of the Bible. But notice his personal submission to the truth of the Bible. This is really important. You know, he's not just spouting off a verse. No. You're not just spouting off a verse and the devil's going to fly away. No. It is written. This is the authoritative, absolute truth of God. But notice, secondly, his personal submission to the Word of God. Notice his submission to the truths of the Word of God. The devil says, make this stone into a piece of bread. And he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of God. Notice the appropriation of that truth for himself. He's not just spouting off a Bible verse. He's saying, I have decided that this truth is the truth of God in my life. Not only does it say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, but I have chosen that I will not live by bread alone. I have chosen that I will not live by bread alone, but I will live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's an amazing truth when you think about it. Victory over the devil. Involves the personal appropriation of the truth of God's word to your life. It's not just spouting off some verse as though there's some magic there. It's the personal appropriation of that truth for your life. And that's where Jesus stood. And so, the devil is going to tempt him. And he says, now I want you to go up to the temple and jump down, and the angels will come, and they'll rescue you because you're the Son of God, and now you prove to everybody that you're the Son of God. You don't have to go to the cross for people to worship you. They'll attribute to you, to your glory, without going to the cross, which Satan didn't want him to go to the cross. And what does he say? He said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. This is the law. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That's it. Period. I'm not going to tempt God because the Bible says, God has written, thou shalt not tempt God. Does that give you an idea of what the spirit is behind the victory against Satan? An absolute recognition of the truth of the Bible. God said it. Hey, there's no question about it. This is the way it is. There's not going to be any other way. This is it. God said it. You know, we live in this day in which so many, even Christians, their attitude to the Bible is take it or leave it. Their attitude to the Bible is, well, if it hits me, you know, they use this pious phrase, if I get convicted, you know. That's more of an attitude than anything. If I get convicted, foolishness. It's written. That's the way it is. Absolute truth. And I'm submitted to God. This is amazing. His attitude towards the Word of God. His submission to the Word of God. His recognition of the absolute authority of God's Word. Now, I think there's another very significant truth about the Bible and Jesus' victory using the Bible is this. Is that Jesus was so thoroughly acquainted with the Bible that he was able to take the temptation of Satan and pinpoint what scripture it was violating. The truth, the pointed truth that was at stake here. You understand what I'm saying? You know, to a lot of people, temptation isn't even temptation. To a lot of people, temptation is just a thought that comes into their mind. They don't even think of it as a temptation. They're just a thought. And they don't do anything about that thought, but just think about it. And, you know, act upon it as though that's all it was. But Jesus was so thoroughly acquainted with the Bible that he knew exactly where that temptation was attacking God and the Word of God. Now ask yourself, under temptation, do you think about how that temptation is attacking the Bible? Do you know the truth that Satan is seeking to cause you to disregard or disobey? I'm pretty confident, knowing myself, that oftentimes we aren't even close. We aren't even close to thinking biblically. What's the biblical truth that's being attacked here? It might be vague, but pointedly, oftentimes, very seldom. But the Lord did. You know why? Because he was so thoroughly acquainted with the Word of God, and he was so thoroughly committed to obeying it, and he was so thoroughly recognized the absolute authority of the written Word of God. I mean, he's the God, the Son, and think of his absolute understanding of the authority of the written Word of God. Wow. We have such a loose view of the Bible today. Isn't that right? This loose view of the Bible. The Son of God. He didn't have that loose view of the Bible. Not at all. Wow. And so we see some very important ingredients here of the victory over Satan himself. The right view of the Bible. No wonder. No wonder the Bible is under attack. No wonder one of the main goals of the public forum and public education is to undermine confidence in the Bible. You don't have that absolute understanding of authority and the reliability and the truth of the scriptures. Guess what? You've just been disarmed, haven't you? You've just been disarmed. And then we have this attitude today. Oh, you know, I'm the boss. Scripture, you know, I don't really even care what the Bible says because I'm kind of the boss. You know, whatever I think. Absolutely foolishness. Absolute foolishness. There's only one way of defeating the lies and the temptation of the devil. And that is not only recognize the absolute authority of the Bible, but being submitted to it. but being submitted to it. And you know, when we consider whatever the devil is tempting us with, the reality is it's because we are not submitted to the truth of God's word. And that temptation finds fertile soil because we're vacillating in our soul. Now, let's think about some applications of the importance of the Bible in our life. Let's think about that. Here's the Lord Jesus. He knew the Bible. He said, "It is written." He recognized that he needed, that this was the core of the spiritual battle. I have a couple places in Scripture I think we ought to think about this morning as to the place of the Bible in our lives. Let's go to some familiar ones, okay? Let's go, first of all, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And here's some great 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17. I think it's always good to be reminded of the context of 2 Timothy 3, which is verse 1, "Know this, in perilous last days, perilous times shall come." Verse 13, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." This is the context. And what's the answer? Verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Here's an important verse about child rearing. "And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." The word child there is the word brethos, which means a little infant. A little infant. Now, if you understand that we are born sinners and we are darkened in our mind and in our will and in our affections by sin, we're born that way. So from the very earliest possible age, a child's soul needs the light of the Word of God. From the earliest possible age. And even before a child is born, a child needs the Word of God. While yet in the womb, that child needs the Word of God. And notice how the Bible tells us that the child's soul is shaped by the Word of God. Oh, so important. Isn't it amazing in our society? I guess this wasn't a part of the sermon, but isn't it amazing that so many parents use the TV as a babysitter? They're just pumping into their soul of their child trash, at best, in many cases. When the opposite needs to be done, their darkened soul needs light. But, next verse, all Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's not like the 1901 ASV version, which says every scripture that is inspired, implying that some aren't. No, the Bible says all scripture. All scripture is God-breathed, is divine. And there's the authority of the Bible. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, shows us what is wrong, for correction, how to correct it, for instruction in righteousness, what is right, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's the answer. The Bible. The inspired word of God. The authority of the scripture. The inspired, God-breathed. The practicality. Everything that man needs to know about life. All the answers are in the Bible. I wonder, do you really believe that? Really believe that? All the answers are in the Bible. Everything that you need to know to live godly is in the Bible. Everything you need to know is found in the Bible. Then let's go to a couple other places that everybody knows, but let's go to Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, you know, there's a couple of practical thoughts. Last night as I was thinking about this message and I was thinking, you know, Jesus quoted out of the book of Deuteronomy more than any other Old Testament book. And every reference that Jesus quoted in his temptation that's recorded in the scripture was from the book of Deuteronomy. And I thought to myself, you know, I read Deuteronomy once this year. I think I'm going to start reading it again. There's some mighty truth in that book. If Jesus quoted it more than any other book, it's a book we ought to know. But notice what he says. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. What is it saying? It is saying that our life needs to be saturated with the truth of God's Word. Our life needs to be saturated with the truth of the Bible. Okay? Now, that's important truth. Saturated. But let's notice a corresponding truth that's very important. Do you know that you can allow things into your life that erases the effect of the Bible? You say, oh, I have my devotions every day. Do you know that you can erase the effect of your devotions every day? You can undo whatever that was that you read. You can undo its effect. And it says it right here, doesn't it? Right? Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Huh. I don't mean to pick on TV today, But let me ask you a question. I mean, we could talk about NBC, ABC, CNN, you know, all the, you know, I shouldn't be political, oh no, sources of fake news, you know. But guess what? You can have whatever you read undone by other things that you read or other things that you listen to or places that you go or friends that you talk to. Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. One time, this is for you university students, okay? You know, I like to talk to students, you know. And one time I said, I was talking to this fella, and he says, I'm a Christian. And I said, no, I know how this was. I remember the story. I was talking to this young man, and he says, well, my mother's a Christian. My mother's a Christian, and she's told me I need to become a Christian, need to get saved. And he says, but, you know, we believe that, you know, everybody has to make their own decision. So she doesn't make me go to church and all this other foolishness that she raised him like. And he says, well, we just believe that, you know, you need to let your child make his own decision. And so I said, okay, well, let's talk about that for a minute. I says, now how much of that, what you're being taught here at the university, is from a God-fearing standpoint? From a Bible truth standpoint? He said, very little. And I says, okay, if that's what you're filling your mind with every day, hours every day, and you're reading those kind of books and studying that, hours every day, I says, what's the chance of you ever getting saved? I says, don't you think you should take some time and give God a chance? Don't you think you'd give God some time? And spend time to contradict all of that false input? Well, you see, that's the mistake of a lot of Christians. A lot of Christians believe in magic. You know what I mean? They believe in magic. You know? They believe, abracadabra! Oh, that's a good verse. Oh boy, I did my devotions for the day. And then they spend the rest of their day talking to their friends who are worldly, listening to their worldly music, going to worldly places. And the dad says, you have your devotions today? Oh yeah, I have my devotions. I'm fine. They like kids say, I'm good. I don't like that. There's only one good, that's God. But, you know what I'm saying? You can undo your study of the Bible easily. It's more than just having your devotions. It's saturating our lives with the Word of God and separating ourselves from all those negative influences. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? It says, the blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the godly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. It has to be separation. And then the positive. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. You see, this is God's plan. And so, There is a proportion here. Be practical here. How do Christians get off the road? How do Christians get off the road? It's pretty simple. You know, 10 minutes a day in the Bible. You know, 4 hours on TV. Or 6 hours gossiping. Or 4 hours looking at magazines. What? No wonder. Proportion. Proportion. It's very simple mathematics. You know what I'm saying? Simple mathematics. 10 minutes in the Bible, half hour in the Bible, but you have all these other things that fill in your mind. Maybe they're not really bad, but the proportion is way out of kilter. And you know, maybe you're really spiritual. You know what I mean? And you go to church every week. You have a 20-minute sermon. You know, that's all that's allowed. You know what I mean? 20-minute sermon. Boy, that's it. That's all I need. I can handle. That's all I need. That's it. So there's a principle of proportion. There's the principle of separation. There's also the principle of appropriation. What does that mean? That means not only do you know what the Bible says, but like Jesus did, you make a decision about it. Jesus said, "Oh, the Bible says you're not supposed to live by bread alone." But it was more than that. What was he saying? The Bible says, God says you should not shall live by bread alone. And you know, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I am not going to live by bread alone, but I am going to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth. Appropriation. Okay? So, and I'm hitting on this one little thing here. So he said, "Oh, I had my devotions." "Oh, what decisions did you make?" You didn't make your decisions. That's pretty weak devotions. That's pretty weak Bible. That's only head knowledge at the most. At the most, head knowledge. It's not heart knowledge. It's not fighting knowledge. It's not winning knowledge. Because winning knowledge is knowledge that's been appropriated. Appropriated knowledge. Now, think about that from the standpoint of Proverbs 2. Now, here's a description. Of this appropriating knowledge. Okay? Now, we're going to start, if you recognize verse 1, starts with an if. You can circle that. And then you can go verse 9, and then you can circle that. And so, we have an if. Here's the condition. And the then, and there's more than one there, then is result of meeting the condition. Okay? And this is the whole idea of appropriating and letting the Word of God saturate our life. Okay? Which almost none of us do a very good job at. I mean, myself included. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee," receive them. What does it mean to receive them? Receive them means you get them at your door and you accept them in. In other words, you like what it says. You like what it says. You agree with what it says. You receive it. Okay? And, you know, it's like this. You know, the preacher said such and such, but I didn't agree with it. Well, what does that mean? You didn't receive what the preacher said. You didn't receive. Now, that's what it says here. You have to receive it. You have to take the truth and say that, I like that, I want that, I accept that. But that's just part of the condition. It's if you will receive your words, hide them. That means memorize them, meditate on them. If you incline your ear unto wisdom, I really want to hear this. I want to get every detail. I don't want to miss a point. I want to really get this. Say that again. Say it again. Incline my ear. I want to hear that. Speak up. I want to get everything. Apply thine heart unto understanding. If thou criest, oh God, I need this. I need this. Oh God, you know how much I need this. If you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver. Well, let's see. I find the answer. No, I didn't find it there. That's enough. Seek her as silver. Wow. That's really effort. That's real effort. Oh, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. There's these conditions of saturating our thinking. You know, we could go to so many other verses in the Bible. Maybe we'll just do that for a little review. But turn to Joshua chapter 1. Seven and eight. Joshua 1:7-8. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Do you think it takes courage to obey the Bible? Obeying the Bible isn't for wimps. Be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 19 and 20, I call heaven and earth to record against the record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Notice the Bible emphasis constantly about the seed, the descendants, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice. Thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Deuteronomy 4 and 5 and verse 29. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 29. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. And with their children forever. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And verse 7. John 15 and verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. John 17 and verse 17. Jesus speaking of his disciples being in an evil world and the influence of that evil world and how to live above the world. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We can go on throughout the Bible. The word of God. The written scriptures. Throughout the Bible, you're going to see that very simple truth. That the blessed people are those who know the law, meditate in the law, allow it to be saturated into their mind and their thinking, who obey the law, who do not go neither to the right nor to the left, but they're straight as an arrow in obedience to God's word. Blessed. Blessed. Those who recognize the authority of God's word, absolute truth. Be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Blessed are they that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's the world we live in. Everything in this world is trying to undermine the truths of the Bible. Blessed are they that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I think you could say very clearly from the Bible today that the devil knows that he is a defeated foe. For that person who thinks biblically, whose mind is saturated with the truth given by God. For that person who keeps that truth pure and unadulterated by maintaining its purity, by being separate from all those evil influences. That person who claims and recognizes the absolute authority of God's word. But as we close, let's turn to another important verse in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14, a very important verse. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. If you know the context, the word things there means the words. Talking about the Word of God, the giving of the Word of God. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man. What is the Bible talking about? The natural man. Well, you know what I mean? Natural. Man born of his mother. Born a sinner. Born a child of Adam. Man, unless they've been born again, by the Spirit of God, repent of their sin, turn to Jesus Christ, they can't discern this book. What does it say? It's foolishness. Foolishness. Huh, foolishness. Why? Because this is a spiritual book. This is God's book. This is God's book for God's people. You know, it's kind of like this. This is a pretty trite illustration. But you know, we have just a few, maybe 5 or 4 home videos of our family growing up. Maybe less. And, but you know what? We saw some of those at Thanksgiving, and you know what? They're precious to us. Oh man, it was just precious. You know, seeing the kids when they're small and all that stuff, it was just precious. That's our family. But you know, if you didn't know us, if somebody way, you know, down wherever, down in Illinois, they saw this, picked up this video and they saw, what is it? That don't mean not anything to them. You know, it's kind of like, you know, people die and they got this box of pictures, you know, and there aren't any relatives around. And what do they do with the pictures? Throw them away. You know, it don't mean anything to anybody, right? Not family, you're not related. Here's the Bible. You know, you're not related to God by His Son. Been born into His family. These truths are foolishness. And maybe you claim to be saved, but actually in your heart, that's what you think about the things of the Bible. That's foolishness. Why would I want to obey that? Why would I want to live that way? Foolishness. Person needs to be saved. Person needs to be saved. But you know, just getting saved isn't going to give you victory over sin. And just getting saved isn't going to bring you into a life of blessing. In it of itself. It's the start. But the Bible makes it very clear. There's an if. In order to meet the condition of blessing. The if. If. Receiving. Study to show thyself approved unto God, the workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Oh, there's an obligation of parents as well. You know, if you don't fill your child with the word of God, and then expect, undo it years later, after you've allowed the devil to have hold for all those years, well, it's going to be tough. It can be done, but it's going to be tough. But we too, we have an obligation to know the Bible. I mean, the Son of God had to know the Bible. The Son of God had to quote the Bible. The Son of God had to appropriate the Bible. He had to say, this is it. This is the way I'm living. How much more so you and I? We have an obligation. What a precious thing we have, the Bible. What a precious thing. Now, you young people, praise the Lord. Memorizing all these Bible verses, that's absolutely tremendous. But let me remind you, you have to make a decision about those verses you memorize. You have to decide, this is the truth and I am going to obey it. Period. Now, you're really beginning to know the Bible. Appropriation. Not just head, heart. Proportion. Proportion. You know, you might be in a job where you're by yourself all day long. And you don't have to put up with a bunch of negative influences. Praise the Lord for that. At least you don't have to, maybe you don't have to fight the undoing of what you learned in your devotions that day. But if you are in a workplace or in a situation where you are surrounded by worldly influences and talk, how much more so should you be in God's Word? Amen? How much more so should you be in God's Word? Proportion, 15 minutes of the Bible and 8 hours of negative, destructive, anti-God atmosphere? Oh, I'd say 15 minutes isn't enough, is it? Not enough, not even close. We're in a spiritual battle for our souls, aren't we? We're in a spiritual battle for our souls. And it's real. And even though you can't see them, the devil's roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And the devil is defeated soundly by the truth of God's word in the heart of an obedient believer who is committed to the truth of God's word and obeying him in every way. Independent. And the one who's dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit. It's called sure victory and blessing. Amen? That's it. There's the formula right in the Bible. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today that it doesn't matter how evil this world is. Lord, we can be what you want us to be. We can have victory over the world, over the flesh, the devil. We don't have to fall to temptation. We can be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Lord, and what an attack there is upon the Bible on all sides. And Lord, that coupled with our sinful heart and our laziness, Lord, a great formula for defeat. Coupled with the devil and his great deceptions and his temptations. Lord, as the people of God, we need to be more realistic about how much our thinking is based on the Bible. We need to be more realistic about how much the Word of God has really saturated our thinking. We need to be more honest about really our attitude about the truth, of the Bible. We need to be more honest, Lord, with how we are facing temptation, if we're being deceived, if we're easily led astray. We need to be more honest by recognizing our lack of biblical knowledge and biblical obedience as the formula for our defeat, or the ingredient of continual victory through the Lord Jesus. And now, Lord, may thy truth today be appropriated. Might we do something about it. We have this moment, Lord, should be a moment of lack of distraction. We're concentrating on these truths. Lord, we have this moment to decide. We have these moments, like the scripture says, that choose between life and death. Lord, may your people choose life. For those who know thee not, might they realize that they are in a spiritual battle, and they must go to the Word of God. And they must spend time in your Word for the truth of the Word of the Lord Jesus to be filling their mind, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Lord, we pray that we would appropriately respond to your Word today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, there's an important decision in your life. Maybe that decision is that you need to be in God's Word every day. Maybe you're not, haven't made that commit, that habit yet. Maybe you're here today and say, you know, I'm in the Bible most every day, but I'm not in the Bible enough. Maybe you're here today and say, you know, I'm in the Bible every day, but I don't memorize much of the Bible. I don't meditate it on the Bible. Maybe you're here today and say, you know, I read my Bible, but I read my Bible and that's what I do. I read it, but I don't make decisions about what I read. I don't make commitments. I just read the Bible. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know, I read the Bible, but you know, it doesn't take long. A few minutes of the music I listen to will undo everything I read. Whatever it is. And the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart today and say, there's a decision I need to make. God knows what it is. I know what it is. And before Him today, I'm surrendering to the Lord, letting Him work in my life, making that decision of obedience. And you say, Pastor, would you please pray with me? I have made that decision, or I need to make that decision, and this is vital. Would you please remember me in closing prayer? Anyone here today, wherever you might be, just by an uplifted hand, praise God. Okay, others? Okay, amen. Others, amen. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Put those hands down. Now, Lord, it's amazing what you can do in a heart that yields to you, that comes to you in obedience. Oh, Lord, amazing what you can do when we give you liberty to work in our hearts. Now bless, empower, strengthen these decisions, how you have spoken to hearts. And Lord, we'd pray that this would just be not the end, but the beginning of a whole changed lifestyle for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name.